you said that you heard yourself.
I can hear myself standing there with somebody, especially at an opening, or if I'm, you know, happen to be in the gallery when someone comes in and they want to talk about the work. This is what I mean, where this little switch goes, and this person, I start talking.
Is it an honest person?
Oh, yeah. It's very real. I mean, it's just, but it's not, it isn't anything that is premeditated, I guess, or that I,
Well, it's not forced, then.
Yeah, it's not forced, but I'm always surprised at myself, because it's like, wow, listen to you. Because I literally can, you know, it's like I can talk and I can say all these things that I don't, I guess it's what it is I don't see the world that way. I don't think in those terms all the time. That isn't the way I would talk all the time or the way I would explain something, because I don't generally stand around explaining them.
You might not know that you are. I mean, you may not, maybe you just don't have the, see, I have very terrible delusions of grandeur, which force me to always be kind of thinking about what I would say in a situation if I had something. Of course, I don't have anything hanging on a wall in a gallery anywhere.
Right, but that's what I mean. Usually you would, we approach, you know, when we're going to do something where there's going to be people standing around.
The funny thing, though, is that when it finally comes down to it, I say something entirely different. Or at least I don't give them that line that I had been rehearsing. Now, of course, I don't stand in front of a mirror, but you know when I'm sitting
no,
down,
but mentally.
Crouched smoking a cigarette, drinking a Schlitz on my porch.
Oh my God, Schlitz!
Yeah, well, I'm on a budget.
I haven't heard of that for a long time.
Yeah, I wish I had neither. And you know, when I'm thinking of all of these things, what am I going to say when in the situation if this photography exhibit gets put up?
Right.
What people are going to ask me questions?
Right.
Of course,
are they going to read that article or read that poem or whatever?
But of course, it's all in that. Maybe you are preparing yourself or getting thicker skin for it, but you're not going to get the questions that you give yourself. And in the same way that you're not going to be able to prepare yourself for that situation, maybe that's why you're so surprised when it finally happens.
Yeah, you're right. You can't. I think it's real normal, a normal human condition to think, oh my God, well, if they say this, I want to make sure I tell them that. You almost, it's like you want to make sure that they know the important stuff. So you think, well, I have to make sure they know that, and I'll get my chance to say it.
Yeah, in fact, being rehearsed catches you off guard more than if you had just acted naturally. Which, well, I suppose, maybe you're just surprised at yourself at how well you are at acting naturally.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's because I enjoy my solitude, and I work in solitary confinement so much. You know, it's just like, I don't like to have people in the studio while I'm working. I really cannot be creative. I can be technical, I can show them things, but I can't really honestly be creative.
But you don't have to be creative there. I mean, maybe you have to explain yourself.
No, in the studio.
In the studio.
If there's people around. Now, when I get into a situation where people are looking at the work, whether they come to the studio or they're at the gallery, that's when this persona just manifests itself that makes it easy to talk about it. Which is when if I try to rehearse or try to think about it too much, then I get really uptight and I get nervous and I think, they're not going to like it or they're not going to like me or.
I'm just surprised that you would. I mean, I guess even to this day, you have to be rather self-conscious. You do have to. You have the timidity, the modesty, as we were talking about earlier.
Well, you just feel, you know, you're on display.
And what does that do to a person?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, and that's, of course, the thing about getting into the habit of being praised by people, and then to the point that you put out this really terrible work of art that you thought was going to be a big hit. But you know what, and admittedly, sometimes, at some point, you are going to put out, I'm not prophesying, but there could be very possibly a point where you put out a work of art that you think is just absolutely wonderful, and it's going to be torn apart.
Sure.
I hope I'm not one of the ones doing it. My God.
Like I said, and
I feel terrible.
I will mail you a copy of my bad review too. That you sit down with the newspaper, somebody goes, "Oh my God, there's a review on your show," and you open the paper and you start reading, and this one bad one that I got started out great about, oh, I love this work and it's this and it's that, and I'm feeling real good, and then it starts to go negative. And you can feel that heat kind of come up your throat and into your face where you're like so embarrassed that somebody actually went in and looked at your work and came away with this attitude. I mean, she suggested they go to the museum. Don't even go to the show. It's not worth it. I'll send it to you.
But I mean, yeah, well, okay, yeah, send it to me and I'll glean from it what I can. just to try to get an idea. Because, I mean, I can't imagine. Like, I have my typical negative responses to a lot of artwork, be it abstract or be it specific in some way. And because I know that I am acting a lot on my own personal preference when I talk about your artwork. I am affected by that. I cannot be entirely objective. But I would be interested in knowing if somebody had something terrible to say about this work of art, which we just looked at and showed me just for the record, where you showed me a lot of how the process works and mm-hmm. how it's made. Mm-hmm. I would be highly interested in knowing what do they go after. I mean, what is it that they what is it that they focus on to disqualify it?
This particular negativity had nothing really to do with the art itself. It was that it was selling.
All the red dots.
The red dots that it was selling made it not good. Isn't that funny?
So, I mean, yeah, well, of course, I mean, it is going against popularity. What we were talking about earlier, somebody walks out and they say, well, you know, the Beatles are hacks. They're overrated. And a lot of the times, people that do that are people that are just trying to set themselves apart. I'm going to be the art critic that says that this successful artist sucks. This good or maybe great artist isn't really all it's cracked up to be, because, you know, maybe that is hoping that it'll come out of style and I'll be seen as the person, you know, the Chicken Little that spoke sooner
right.
than the rest of them.
I
knew this all along. What a flash in the pan this Susan Sales. She's only been working for like 2-3 years. It's not like she's some big deal or anything like
well,
that.
Well, it was funny.
What a loser.
It was funny. Fortunately, like I say, the negativity was about the commercial aspect as opposed to the actual artistic aspect. So that part...
That should have been comforting. I mean, if that's the best negative review, I mean, if that's the worst or best, what have you, negative review that you can get, that must be great.
Well, it was funny, and I do laugh, and I keep it in my portfolio. I mean, it's always available for people to read. It's just, I mean, it's a big world. There's all kinds of people out there with all kinds of tastes and interests, and so if somebody happens to wander into your gallery and see your work and they don't like it, or they happen to pick up a book and read your poem or your prose and they think, oh, nah, there's, you know, 50 other people that never commented, but they liked it.
Yeah, well, I'm not as good a writer as you are a painter, but I expect to be eviscerated. I think it was Andy Kaufman loved reading bad reviews of himself. Of course, the type of entertainer that he was. I mean, just loved nothing more to sit down and he'd see some scathing, awful.
Like
just
Borat.
Well, you know, yes. Okay.
I want to be so negative. I want to have people just be so like...
Well, you know, and to play an alter ego that's really just about making people uncomfortable and just tearing people apart without them realizing it. Mm-hmm. Like when Kaufman was wrestling all those women in Memphis, mm-hmm. whatever it may be, or Tony Clifton, for that matter. And he just really relished that kind of, the world of criticism and people's inability,
right.
just inability to parse or to absorb it because they were being fooled with. But
it's not unlike your unnewsletter.
Oh, yeah, no, the bald-faced lie, yeah. I read the bald-faced lie about Nancy Pelosi being on lithium at some point and getting shock treatment.
Everybody has to read this. It's fabulous. It's so good.
It's such a lie.
Well, but it's just so representative of how you can fabricate and make it sound so real and so legitimate and so researchable. And
it's got a nice suit and tie on. We went and interviewed a couple of artists from England, Fiona Ray and Dan Perfect, both really good artists. They were showing at a gallery. Me and Ray Quentin, it was the first interview we ever did together with other people. And he had brought with him the morning, and of course I was hungover, and he picked me up, and he had these two reviews that had been written about their Dan Perfect. We were there to really interview Dan Perfect, but his wife Fiona Ray was there, and both of them have very a similar approach to artwork, and it's abstract. And it's mm-hmm. really, really good. And the reviews were sort of, I mean, it was just almost them waxing that they were art critics and able to understand. It's almost as though they were writing in spite of how little they understood. Is that they were proving their ability as art critics more than criticizing the art itself.
Uh-huh.
And so he just sort of spun out with, oh, you know, the childhood fantastic imagery and shapes of color and light and the organisms. And of course, his artwork was a lot about, say, for instance, a general like light color, uh-huh. as opposed to she was one that had a general dark color behind her, and a lot of sort of various shapes and, you know, pictures within a big picture. And so he remarked, one of the critics remarked on the fact that it was like organic, not organic, like microorganisms or multicellular organisms. And it was just such an easy thing to say. And it wasn't flattering, but it wasn't negative.
Right.
It was just sort of, I'm here to be an art critic, and this is what I've got.
Oh, RJ, all you have to do is get them any issue of Art in America and go to the reviews. You will fall down laughing at some of the stuff they say. I will look at those sometimes, and I'll just pick a sentence. And I'll read it over and over and say to myself, it doesn't say anything.
It says nothing. The linear modifications are like something out of a dream.
Exactly.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You know, I mean, what's funny, though? I've discovered that they do the same thing with fashion writing and interior design writing, where they just make these phrases and these sentences that you, I don't know, you just think, you're joking, right?
But you're not supposed to be joking. I mean, you damn
I mean,
it,
these
it's
are
your
people,
job.
This is their copy. You know, their copyright. This is what they do. They just, you know, let's face it. You know, everybody's got their cross to bear, and everybody's got their job, and I think everybody's got their modicum of
300 words.
300 words, and their dream that someday, somehow, something is going to happen, and everything's going to be good. And
so this is, I guess, a type of waiting in the wings, just to keep yourself alive, and you keep yourself in the publication long enough, or you keep yourself in the gallery long enough.
Yeah, just
maybe
somehow
something will happen.
Some magic's going to happen, and that's good. It's good to believe in some magic, but you know, then you just have to go back to the. Back to work. Just get back to work. I mean, you know, what else is there? Work and love? That's
yeah.
it. There's work and there's love.
There's work and there's love.
There you go.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, Susan Sales.
Well, thank you, RJ.
It's been a pleasure meeting you, Susan Sales.
Likewise.
And you're absolutely
fantastic.
You've been
most welcome here, and I will look forward to the next visit.
Thank you.